Today on Real Radio.
Probably the most profound letters in red you'll ever read. I would love to hear Jesus's tone in the speaking of those words to Nicodemus. Wouldn't you love to have been there? This is Almighty God in human flesh, the manifestation of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know. It's a series of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a series called You Need to Know, all about being born again. Our main text today is chapter 3 of John. It seems that John the Apostle had a unique insight into what it means to be born again, or born from above, as he indicates in his other writings. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more of You Need to Know, all about being born again.
Turn in your Bibles again to John chapter 3 as we are in part 2. And I got to confess, this is not the last part. This is too important of a topic as we look to the doctrines of the Bible. We're looking at being born again, all about being born again. I'm delighted, I'm happy and glad to see that since you and I were together last week, we saw 168 people come forward last Sunday to accept Christ over the course of the Sunday morning services. Why? Well, you're going to hear about why in a moment, and I want you to be very, very sensitive to the fact. Please do not miss this, but be very sensitive to the fact that you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven, says Jesus himself. So the great question is, as we were looking, what does it mean to be born again? How do I be born again? And what are the effects? What are the manifestations of having been born again? And so let's read again our Bibles, John chapter 3, and then we'll touch on where we left off last week and get into the second installment of all about being born again. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. That means he was a member of the Sanhedrin, part of the 70. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs or the miracles that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" Verse 13. "No one has ascended into heaven but he who has first come down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man." And while I read that, imagine Jesus pointing to his chest. "The Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved," rescued, "delivered. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Verse 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Probably the most profound letters in red you'll ever read. I would love to hear Jesus' tone in the speaking of those words to Nicodemus. Wouldn't you love to have been there? This is Almighty God in skin, in human flesh, the manifestation of God. Imagine if God, if you right now you could just press a button and God would speak to you. Nicodemus, as it were, came up and he pressed the button. He came to Jesus by night and he asked him a question. And God in the flesh, standing or seated, I don't know, it doesn't matter, but one-on-one, face-to-face. And I love the fact that Jesus delivered this particular message recorded in your Bible personally to one man. Because I believe God is speaking. In fact, I know that God, when he speaks this truth, he always speaks it to one man. That is to you and I personally. You're not saved corporately. You're not saved congregationally. You're saved individually. Talking to Christ personally. And Jesus tells him, you must be born again. We learned last time this, all about being born again. We asked this question, what does it mean to be born again? And we saw three things last time. And it means this, that you and I, regarding being born again, that you and I need to receive that new life that comes from above. We notice that it's not from earthly associations, it's not from membership, it's not from religiosity, but in fact, what does it mean to be born again? It means to be born from above. Jesus said, you must be born of the Spirit. You must have a heavenly birth to enter the kingdom of heaven. That just absolutely shatters man-made religions. Blows them to bits. You've got to be born from above. It's the work of God. Number two, that you receive that life from God himself. That God is the originator of salvation. You would never have known that you needed rescuing, saving, unless it was God working in your life and calling out to you. God does that. The Bible says, you know, look at, again, I mentioned in our announcements this day that's happening outside. I thought it was cold this morning when I got in my car at 45 degrees. In light of the East Coast, that's a heat wave. But quickly, my app told me that it was going to go from 45 degrees today to 81. Now you're talking. And why do I bring that up? Because the Bible also says that if you and I will not listen, that God uses other means to get our attention. And one of them is, it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Think of that for a moment. It's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. And if that doesn't get your attention, God will also, as it were, up the ante and you'll turn on the heat and things and life may have to get your attention. If we're not listening, God loves you so much, he turns up the level of exposed difficulties in your life to get your attention. Now, I don't know about you. You look like a well-educated people. Best to listen to God and hear him in the goodness rather than him having to turn things up to get your attention with the hardships, right? Hardships come and go, but they don't have to be the very things that get our attention for salvation. Maybe God's been very good to you. Listen, God had been good to Nicodemus in his religion. Not because of it, but in spite of it. God had been good to him. He was a prosperous man, an influential man, a powerful man. God gave Nicodemus the opportunity to speak to Jesus personally. Doesn't God give you and I the opportunity to speak to Jesus personally? Sure he does. That work comes from God above. Thirdly, we saw last time that you and I live our new life for the things of God. We saw that once we come to Christ, the fact that what does it mean to be born again is our lives literally, watch this, we live it in the flesh. We live it in the flesh. We had to shower this morning. We had to dress our flesh this morning. I had to embalm my flesh this morning with deodorant. There's a process to this. There's deodorant first, then there's the cologne, right? And if that doesn't work, you take a air scent device and tie it around your pant leg or something. But in this world, in this life, in this flesh we're living, we once lived it for the world, but now that we know God, we live our faith out in this world, in the flesh, but everything that we do answers to heaven. And we're happy about it. We're glad about it because we've been given a new life. I don't want to embarrass the man. I won't say his name, but I was speaking to somebody just before service this morning. And like all of us, he used to be a non-believer. And he used to go with the crowd and laugh at their dirty jokes. And somebody said a dirty joke at the office the other day, and he just quietly, without saying anything, just kind of moseyed away and continued on with his work. And the person that was cracking the joke said, the old you used to laugh at my dirty jokes, but you don't laugh at my dirty jokes anymore. That's one of the greatest compliments that a believer can receive. Did you know that? New life. You live it out in the flesh. So number two, here we go. Part two of our message now is this. You need to know all about being born again. It's number two. It's why do you have to be born again? You might say, Pastor, why do I have to be born again? Why is it so important? Let me first of all say to be born again or not is not, listen, to be born again or not is not an option or a selection that you make like buying a car. Well, I choose not to be born again. Or I choose to be. I'm going to add it to my Costco card and my NRA card and my whatever card you have. I'm just going to add my Jesus card to my gathering. No, that's not it. Why do you have to be born again? You heard numerous times Jesus said, you must, Nicodemus. You've got to be born again. It's not an option that you exercise like buying options on a car. It's an issue of life and death, of heaven and hell, of salvation or being lost forever. Why do I need to be born again? Why do you need to be born again? We were going to look at that this morning, and you want to think about this. The simplest and quickest answer is obviously this, that everything in our lives. Now listen, everybody, please don't leave what I'm about to say. Please don't run out of here with your hair on fire. Because everything that you and I do in life before we come to Christ is laced with what the Bible calls sin. I can't believe he said that on such a beautiful morning. It's true. It's true. Sin. What is sin? Well, first of all, sin, the Bible says, is you and I missing God's perfect standard of perfection. To sin is to miss the mark. It's an Olympic term from ancient Greece. And when an archer pulled out his arrow and launched it at a target, if he missed the target, the Olympic judge shouted back at the archer, "Sinner!" He didn't throw down his bow and arrow and walk away pouting and filing a lawsuit for harassment or something. He just pulled out an arrow and shot again. It's a term that means you missed the mark. Try again. Now, you and I have a better chance of hitting a bullseye with an arrow than you and I do of living life one day without sin. Did you know that? You say, well, I don't, Pastor, speak for yourself. I think I'm doing pretty good. Listen, even if we don't physically commit a sin, remember this, before God, our thoughts are being judged before God. Our motives are being judged by God. Our actions are being judged by God. All of these things rack up against us what the Bible calls sins. And summing it up would be those things of shame. Those things of shame that we would have in our lives. Some things of shame in our lives are public things. And some of them, perhaps the most terrible are the ones that are private things. They're in our minds. They're in our memories. We've sinned against somebody. We've sinned against others. We've sinned against God, certainly. Now, listen, believe me. Hang on, because this message ends with hope. But I must give you Romans 3:23. And if you understand your Bible or if you're willing, this brings us hope. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The word "all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." The word "fallen" means having been fallen, we continue to fall. Did you know that? You and I as human beings, we are fallen creatures, and so we continue to fall. We are living in a fallen state. That's why you and I need to be born again. Vitally important. And so listen, here's a simple question and observation. Don't answer out loud, or else you might be put to shame. Question: where do you feel most at home? Where do you feel most at home? Wherever you feel most at home is most like you. Wherever you feel most at home, it's because it's most like you. None of us want to be places where we don't feel at home in that place. So the man or the woman who's born again is more at home in this world with their heart in heaven, though they're living in this world. There's an overwhelming sense for you and I who are born again that though we live here, we're not home. You feel like a stranger here, do you not? Now, if you feel very, very much at home in this world, and you love it, you're very comfortable here, I want you to think about that for a moment. Wherever you feel at home, that's home. And I say that because I'm happy to announce as a Christian, I may live in this world, but I'm not home yet. I don't belong here. And you know, maybe a lot of our critics would say, you're right, you don't belong here. I would agree with them with that. C.S. Lewis, after he came to Christ, the great philosopher, science lover and debater, author, C.S. Lewis, he made the comment that after coming to Christ, he realized that he was living in this world, that he was living in enemy-occupied territory. He wasn't home. The enemy had taken this world, and this world was no longer his. Noah Webster, in his dictionary, defines sin this way: it's that which encompasses not only an action, but the neglect of a known duty owed to God. He says, Webster goes on, all evil thoughts, purposes, words, desires, intentions that are contrary to God's command or law is sin. And he's exactly right about that. Very important. So the first thing we see, church, is this. Why do you and I have to be born again? Because none of us like to be told what to do. And here's Jesus saying, you must be born again to Nicodemus. Well, the first thing is, because you and I, without Christ, are separated from God. Listen, if somebody says to you, if you share the Lord with somebody and they say, why do I need to be born again? The number one answer is because we're separated from God. This is my opinion. It's what the Bible says. We're separated from God. And it doesn't take a spiritual Einstein to figure out that when you look around the world, and even if I look at myself, when we're not Christians, we are certainly suffering from what I call separation anxiety. If there was ever such a thing as separation anxiety, it's that mankind is separated from God. That's why we need to be born again. You say, well, how do I know this? Listen, we're separated from God. First of all, we're brought into this world. As King David said, we were conceived in sin. That doesn't mean David's mother was sinning. It means that even if she had the most wonderful relationship, that when David was conceived, it's an amazing statement. And I've shared this with you before. Not only was David conceived in his mother's body, and then he developed for 9 months in his mother's body, but David is announcing that as a child, even as an infant, all of humanity not only has DNA, it has a spiritual DNA within us, and that is that we are all S-I-N positive. And as we grow up, you never teach your child how to sin. We automatically know how to do this. We automatically know how to lie. Isn't that amazing? Not one of you parents have said, now, Junior, this is how you tell a doozy. None of us would ever do such a thing. You know that's wrong. That's, by the way, another indicator of your origin in God, even though we're separated from God, is that you know right from wrong. And a child knows what's wrong. A child will steal something they want. Is that Johnny's truck in your diaper? Did you put his truck in your diaper? First of all, they'll say, no, no. Well, what's that truck doing in your diaper? Don't know how it got there. Where does that come from? Oh, listen, a lot of people don't want to hear this today because you can read you can get books on this, that sin is actually part of our evolutionary process, that when we continue to advance, I'm serious, I'm quoting you, I'm paraphrasing right now. If evolution continues on, as evolutionists hope, we will someday be done with this issue of sin because we will evolve beyond the sin issue. This is a momentary, transitory psychosis of man. Did you know that? Sin. I'm serious. That's what people say. There's a very, very educated group of people that say, we don't worry about sin because in the evolutionary process, there's going to come a time when there'll be no more sin. We just need to get over it. We need to advance beyond it. That's both sad and very funny. It's sad because it's not true, and it's going to be funny to watch them deal. By the way, people who write such things, I'm convinced, have never had children. Or they've never been married either. Right? They've only had a little life unto themselves, like them and Paul Simon. I am a rock, and I'm an island, and an island feels no pain. Right? No, it's not true. Not true. We're separated from God, says the Bible. And the world is headlong racing towards its own self-demise, if you think about it. Why? Because we're separated from God. That's why man does the things that he does to other men, to mankind, separated from God. We who are created in the image of God, says the Bible, act like demons. It's very tragic. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, this is why we need to be born again. Then to Adam, God said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. Ooh, that's a... Anyway. And have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. By the way, I don't think God is saying, Adam, dope, you blew it. Cursed is the ground. I don't think so. I think God is sick, hurting over this. The very perfect, blessed world that God made, God says to Adam, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you shall return. Verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden. Do you hear God's voice crackling in that?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About Being Born Again. It's actually a series taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies on the essentials of our faith. It's a series called You Need to Know. And we'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About Being Born Again on the next edition of Real Radio. Now, we've told you all about our free app for your smartphone or tablet, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs smartphone app. Real Life with Jack Hibbs also happens to be the name of one of our television programs, and you can certainly visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and watch that program online. But you can also watch the television program right there at your smartphone or tablet through the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. So just another reason to download it, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the free app for your smartphone or tablet. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.